Hello and welcome to WCHL's Carrboro Board of Aldermen Candidate Forum. I'm Aaron Keck, your moderator, and for this hour, we are joined by the three candidates for Carrboro Board of Aldermen. Special election coming up on Tuesday, May 6th, for the open seat on the board that was left vacant by Lydia Lavelle when she stepped up to take over as mayor. Early voting is underway right now, and for the next hour, we'll be talking about all of the top issues in the town of Carrboro for the next couple of years to come and beyond. So I'd like to begin by welcoming our three candidates, Teresa Watson, Bethany Cheney, and Talala Saad. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So we've got a lot to talk about, and I want to make this, as we talked about during the break, as loose a forum as possible, so I won't be keeping too close of an eye on the clock, but we do only have an hour to cover all 300 of the issues that are facing Carrboro right now. So we'll try to keep the clock rolling, but again, we want this to be as much of a conversation between the candidates as possible. Before we get to the issues, though, I want all three of you to begin, and we'll start alphabetically with Talala Saad. And go with Bethany Cheney and then Teresa Watson. If you could just in 30 seconds to a minute, take a second and talk about how, in a nutshell, you differentiate yourself from your two opponents. Talal, I'll start with you.
Sure. Thank you very much, Aaron. So my name is Talal Asad, and I moved to the area about 4 years ago. So I guess I bring with myself some outside experience. I know a lot of times when a company needs help, they hire outside consultants like Bethany Cheney. And so a lot of times when you're in tunnel vision, you kind of can't really see outside of the box. And so I think that I will bring a lot of outside of the box experience. And also I'm the youngest candidate. I want to represent our age demographic, the 25 to 35 year olds, which we're not represented right now.
All right, Bethany Cheney.
Well, I guess the biggest way I differentiate myself is by virtue of having served on the Carrboro Planning Board for 3 years, and I think I'm the only one of the candidates that has practical experience with town government in that kind of voluntary role at this point. So I have a lot of experience using and experiencing the land use ordinance and the Vision 2020 document that we use as a policy guidance and other kinds of ways in which government is working right now in Carrboro, I'm very familiar with.
Teresa Watson.
Hi. I'm a native of Orange County, born here in 1956, and I have been working on the board. I've worked with the Board of Adjustment. I've worked on sustainability issues, and I have worked in the community with issues relating to some of the topics we're talking about, affordable housing. I work with students in the schools and family, and I've been doing that for over 20 years.
All right. That's how the candidates differentiate themselves in general, but I want to begin now by talking about the specific issues, and we'll begin just by having all the candidates take a minute or two to answer the general question, and then we'll open it up for discussion. And if you could just raise your hands, and I'll call on you so people out there listening know who's speaking. We'll start with Bethany Cheney on this one. I'm speaking by talking about the local economy. There's a lot of different proposals out there on the table for improving the local economy, economic development in Carrboro. Just in general, what is the kind of economic development that Carrboro needs? And on the Board of Aldermen, what would you do to promote it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the town already values a local living economy. You know, it's something that we talk a lot about, and we have a lot of terrific examples in town of locally owned businesses that are serving local needs. I think that we need to continue to advance that strategy, but we also have to be mindful of all of the things that are not currently provided in Carrboro or even in Chapel Hill that we have some space for in Carrboro, some consumer needs that we have to go to Durham to satisfy. So I'm interested in well-planned development that meets local needs, and to the extent that that can be satisfied with a locally owned business, great. Let's provide the support to those businesses and incentives for those businesses to stay in Carrboro and to grow in Carrboro. But to the extent that local needs cannot be met locally, then we need to be open to the possibility of having other kinds of businesses and employers into our marketplace, so that we, you know, we can truly spend our money in the town that where we live.
More open than we are now.
More open.
Yeah.
I feel like we're fairly open. We just don't literally have the spaces built out yet. We don't have. We do have some resistance to change in certain parts of town that would enable us to attract certain kinds of businesses. That's true. But I think that that's just a change management issue and not a policy issue.
Teresa Watson.
Well, there are some changes that have transpired in Carver. As I said, I've been here all my life, actually. And I think we need more service industry in the town of Carver. There are some things that we have removed, like Anderson Rigsby, where now we have the parking lot. We do need some more service industry there. I think we need to appeal more to for the people that have businesses now to stay here. And I think we need to be able to, with a lot of discretion, bring in business, and that will also help our tax base. And do I have a particular business industry? Not yet, because you have to sort of filter and research and see what actually fit into Carrboro. Every business you don't want here, but those are the things. That's my position on economics.
Talal.
So when we talk about Carrboro, I think a lot of our economy is based on the entertainment industry. We have a lot of restaurants, a lot of bars, and if you speak to a lot of the business owners downtown, they'll all reiterate that. I think we're reaching maybe critical mass of bars and restaurants downtown. And while there's always open for innovation, I think we should start to focus on other types of industry as well. I have a proposal for what I'd like to call green urban economic zones or urban enterprise zones. And these UEZs have been used in New Jersey to incentivize companies. And as on the Board of Aldermen, you can actually set very, very strict criteria of what makes these companies eligible. And so you would be able to incentivize them with some sort of tax incentives in order for them to employ more long-term employment in town. And then we'd be able to add some different criteria, such as they have to be LEED certified, they have to be certified by maybe Green Globes, and other, I guess you would say sustainable, what's the word I'm looking for? Sustainable
like, development.
Development,
or, yeah.
Exactly. And so it would promote a lot of light manufacturing, and let's bring back some, you know, secondary sector jobs.
I think you are a lot of you are in agreement on a lot of proposals, but there's been quite a few proposals that the three of you have put out there for what to do about economic development in Carrboro. Streamlining the development process is one. A business incubator is another. The green urban enterprise zones, the revolving loan fund, which is ongoing, and I think at least two, if not all three of you, have very strongly supported that. What other proposals would you like to mention for promoting the economy in Carrboro? Teresa.
Well, I think one that we currently have is that we don't sometimes in Carrboro, we don't think about things for the seniors. So I'd like to see some medical clinics here that serve the senior population. At one point, Carrboro had a large senior population. People will retire and actually live in Carrboro. I know it's sort of hard for people to see Carrboro as a retirement place, but it was at one point in time. And I would like to be able to get back and service that population that we don't often talk about. So that would be one thing I would like to see in Carrboro.
Bethany?
So I think something that Talal just mentioned was maybe a need to incentivize light manufacturing in town. And something that is on the table right now is this idea of having an arts and culture, arts and entertainment district actually defined in Carrboro that would sort of set a tone for what kinds of, what business might be, what kind of consumer businesses might be able to attract and what kinds of businesses might thrive in town. I'm not 100% sure that's the best way to go, but what I really like about the proposal is a focus on people that make things, whether that is people making music, people making art, people making light and in industrial fixtures, but the idea of making durable goods or intangible goods is kind of at the heart of Carrboro's history. right? We were always makers, whether it was the mills or whether it was growing, you know, growing food or whether it was, you know, creating other kinds of local products. So the more that we can incentivize that, I think the better off we'll be.
Yeah. Talal first and then Teresa.
Sure. I definitely agree with Bethany on that. And then I know that you mentioned the addition of incubators, business incubators, or some shared workspace. And I think that would be a really nice thing to have, even if it was subsidized by our town or at least promoted by our town. If we were able to link young entrepreneurs and a lot of, I guess, innovators with business leaders in the community, whether it be through UNC, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, such as UNC also has this incubator that just started up as well last year. I think if something in Carrboro that would, you know, facilitate a lot of entrepreneurs to come together and be able to work on their own project, but in a shared workspace, in a place where you're able to share ideas and share your failures, I think that would be a great way to have a lot more, I guess, a lot more young people that are contributing toward the economy and would be contributing toward the future of Carrboro as well.
Teresa.
I just want to make getting a little nervous here. But I just want to make one point. Even though I would look at the industry here, the service industry is one that I look at, I think there was, too, that we have to think about an entity that will yield some of the, that will absorb some of the tax or put tax back into the Carrboro community. So I wanted to also know that you know that I do think about the tax base, because eventually, if we don't do something, taxes would have to be increased.
Bethany, and I wanted to throw out this question. I know you're not going to answer this one specifically necessarily, but there's a lot of proposals on the table, and everyone seems to be on board with a lot of them. Are any of these proposals ones that any of you think are just pie in the sky? We shouldn't do it, or are all of these valid ideas?
Of the ones that
we've been talking about, light industry and urban enterprise zones and service industry and.
I don't like the idea of taking anything off the table
okay.
until you have the information.
I'm trying
that
to sound discord
need.
Here.
So,
yeah. But yeah, go ahead, Bethany.
I think I wanted to build on something Talal said about business incubators, and it's something I thought a little bit about too, because the question has come up about how Carrboro utilizes now its small business loan funds, and some of them, there are a couple of different pots. Some of them are underutilized, some of them are used quite well, but at the end of the day, about half of the businesses that have taken advantage of Carrboro's loan funds have actually left town or they've closed. They didn't endure, even if they didn't default on their loans. The fact is they're not here anymore. So I'm wondering if it might make sense to sort of make sure that if there is some kind of incubator model that the town is going to support or that a public-private partnership would support, that it also be paired with some kind of accelerator funding that would enable those small businesses to really get to the next level, to take a product to market, for example, to really grow. It's purposefully invested funding to grow and to become enduring. It requires a little bit more of a focus on business planning and describing or proving your competitiveness. But I think that would be a way to really utilize our funds, target them a little bit more explicitly.
We've got to move on to other topics, but before we do, we're getting some Facebook questions. And I want to just throw out a couple really quick sort of lightning round questions related to economic development. We'll start from left to right, so Teresa, Bethany, Talal, and then go back and forth. First of all, a Facebook question we received about building heights. How tall will the tallest building be in Carrboro 15 years from now? What's your stance on building heights, starting with Teresa?
I think it maximum for me would be 5 stories. That would be my max.
Bethany?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the maximum limit now. I can't imagine trying to extend that, at least not in the next 15 years.
Talal?
Yeah, in the current situation we're in, I'm also for the 5-story limit. But again, 15 years from now, technologically advanced, we don't know how buildings and how architecture is going to be. So I wouldn't take that off the table.
Okay, going in reverse order from Talal to Teresa, drive-thrus. That's a question that's been sort of raised. How strict should the town's limitations on drive-thrus be, Talal?
So I believe drive-thrus are there for some services that they would be best for, such as like a pharmacy. If we were to open a pharmacy with a drive-through, you know, you don't want to get your sick kid out of the car and then walk all the way across and try to get them into get their medication.
Bethany?
Yeah, I support them as long as they're well-placed. I support the ban on core downtown, more core downtown drive-thrus, but I think that there are some discrete locations where we could benefit from drive-through services in a number of areas.
And Teresa?
I agree with Bethany, but I will say, like, at the bank and things like that, when you have kids, when you have children, which I have six, I do not want to get out of the car to go to the bank or go to get food if I don't want to. But it's nothing like having a kid that you got to pick up and take into the store. So for some degree, I would support it. In some locations, I would not support it.
And then finally, and we'll start with Bethany and go to Teresa and then Talal, we've talked about how to attract new businesses to Carrboro. What should the town do to retain existing businesses?
Well, I think the first thing is to make sure that we understand what space needs and growth needs our current businesses have and really do an inventory and make sure we're doing some good planning to make spaces available, and then also to make sure that we are matching the needs of employees for businesses with what we have in town that will retain those employees, make their quality of life high enough that they want, you know, the businesses will stay.
Teresa.
Well, I think that the businesses here, I think we need more communication with the business. You know, you have be able to communicate, like Cliff Meat Market has been there forever. And so I can be able to go in and talk, and he could be more freely in telling me what his needs are. And so once I understand what the needs of the community, business leaders are in the community, then it would be easier for me to work within the community as it relates to the businesses. It gives them more incentive to stay there because I know what their needs are.
Talal.
Sure. I think when promoting new business, we have to make sure that the new development does not impede on existing business. I know that a lot of businesses, or not a lot, but a few have actually gone out of business due to some development. And I think the new good neighbors ordinances that came up when it comes to buildings and building development will be beneficial in retaining some businesses that have been around for a while.
All right. We are through two of the 16 topics we talked about. We're about halfway through, but I want to move on to the budget because a lot of the programs that we just talked about for economic development might cost money, so some of that will enter into budget conversations as well. Carrboro has generally managed to avoid increasing the tax rate through the recession. Lydia Lavelle said last week here on WCHL she's hopeful the town can keep that up in the next budget cycle too, but funds are still tight, and the town is going to have to continue making tough decisions. So the first question I want to throw out, and we'll start with Teresa and go to Talal and then Bethany, under what circumstances, if any, would you be willing to support a tax increase?
Right now, I really can't answer that question because I don't see, I just don't know at what point. I would really try to do other things before I get to that point, a lot of other things before I get to that point. So I really don't see, I can't answer that.
What would be some of the things that you would do?
Some of the creative things I would do. I would probably seek out to get ask the commissioners for a line item. I would do that. I would, that's probably the thing that I can just think about right now, is just ask the commissioner for a line item of anything, like for the bus service that we have or we may need, and see if I can work through there. I wouldn't do a bond or any of that. But I would look at the existing budget and see if there's anything that I can modify or I can adjust to accommodate whatever that need is at that time.
Talal.
I have to, first of all, applaud our existing aldermen and town manager and existing administrations. Carrboro has been running a budgetary surplus for the last 7 years, even during the economic downturn, which is a big deal. I think that we do very well in how we propose our projects for the next year, as well as in terms of tax collection. The issue that I have is the fact that we are among the highest effective property tax rate in North Carolina. We're higher than Chapel Hill, we're higher than Cary, we're even higher than Charlotte. And I think that that is where the big issue comes when it comes to taxes. I think that we have to find ways to redistribute that tax base back to sales tax and away from the ad valorem tax that we're already paying right now.
What's the best way to do that?
So that, again, through economic expansion and attracting new and different and diverse types of business, I think is something that we absolutely need to do.
Bethany.
Well, we know that our budget, our priorities ought to be reflected in our budget, and I think that our town has made every effort to do that. And Talal's right. Everybody should be congratulated for their ability to keep taxes, at least hold them harmless for the past few years. I would be willing to raise taxes if the town conducted a zero-based budgeting process first and proved that there was a need for raising taxes based on all of the priorities that the town, obligations and priorities that the town has and needs to carry forward.
So this may be speaking ahead of the next question, but getting back to sort of the point that Teresa made and that you just made, Bethany, hypothetically, town manager David Andrews comes to you and says, look, we can hold the line on taxes this year, but in order to do that, we've got to cut one thing in the budget. What should that one thing be? Or in that circumstance, would you say, go ahead and raise taxes? Everyone just sat back from the microphones. Talal, you're smiling. I'll start with you.
I'm not smiling. So I think human needs always have to come first, or human and then economic needs. And so if economic needs benefit human needs, then we have to look towards finding ways to support the infrastructure. I think when you look at stuff that are nice-to-haves versus need-to-haves, I think that we could scale back on creating new art projects or new parks. I think that definitely we would need to encourage development downtown, so then down the line, 10, 15 years from now, we would have a lot more money in our coffers to do our nice-to-haves and have fun in Carrboro.
Bethany?
Yeah, I guess I'm not willing to say one thing has to be cut. I don't think that's ever the scenario. I think that, you know, we know what the price is that needs to be cut, then we figure out how, if it's 1% of the budget, then we figure out how to reduce everybody's budget by 1% to the extent that that's even possible. But I would hope that we would never be faced with that question.
All right. Teresa?
I really gotta agree with Bethany. Even though if I was faced with that question, I think that I would definitely focus on the human need first. And I am really big on modifying a budget to accommodate a situation.
Talal, really quickly.
Yeah. So again, going back to the human needs and cutting off, when I say, I guess you would say extracurricular projects, Chapel Hill has spent a lot of money on an art project where that money could have been diverted into the Affordable Home Trust. And I think something like that, where you can nearly double the fund of the payment out to the Affordable Home Trust for one sculpture, I think that that's unconscionable. I believe people should deserve home ownership before we deserve things on the ground.
Follow-ups to that, Teresa?
Well, I think this question is very, very challenging. So every entity and service here, where this art, and we try to, in Carrboro, we're trying to develop a new art center and things like that. So when you're asking this question, there's some opportunity, there's some situations where you will not want, you might cut your nose off despite your fate, where we're trying to build a center and it could do income. I think that different avenues would require you to really sit down and ponder over what actually needs to be done.
And finally, Bethany, we've got to take a break, so I'll let you have the last word.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to mention that usually those public art projects are actually paid for out of a development budget as opposed to, a development project budget as opposed to public funds.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure we're ever really faced with the opportunity to reprogram public funds in the way that Talal has described. But I do agree with him that sometimes public art within a development project could be, those funds could be used in a different way.
We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about affordability, transportation, and the values that define Carrboro as a community and how to preserve and protect those. That is on the way in the second half of this Candidates Forum. You're listening to WCHL.